Hey yo man, it's your time. And fuck poverty. Get this money, man. Fuck you gotta do, you know what I'm saying?
What's up everybody? Welcome to the Phil and Leroy the Judgmental Podcast.
What's up everybody? This your boy Phil.
And I'm Leroy. So we got a viral video of the week. This first viral video is from I assume this was a TikTok. I got it off of Worldstar. It's the father, Ben Hart. Ben Hart is a 64-year-old break dancer, and his daughter, Maddie, tried to claim that he was an unfit parent. So here's the first is going to start. Well, he's doing a commentating. I'll just play the video, and you'll hear for yourself. Here we go.
Okay, I wake up at 6 a.m. to do some work. I get my coffee. I sit down. I open my computer. And what am I greeted with? Well, hundreds of comments calling me a deadbeat dad, a child abandoner, and all manner of other insults. So I think, what's this all about? Well, after a few minutes of investigation, I discover that my daughter, Maddie, has made a video about me. She's a screenwriter in Hollywood. She's also a big social media influencer with millions of followers. Some of her videos get millions of views. And this video has tens of millions of views. 1 million likes, 20,000 comments, 40,000 bookmarks, 30,000 reposts. It's just insane. So I thought I'd better watch this video. And frankly, I was pretty chagrined by what I heard, to say the
least. Chagrin.
But honestly, the more I watch this video, the more I like it. Well, I like about 98% of it. However, I do need to correct a few statements in the video.
So is the 2% he got beef with.
But first, let's just watch Maddie's 90-second video, and then I'll give you my comments.
What's a piece of trauma that you have that's funny? It has to actually be funny. I'll go first. My dad abandoned my family when I was 5 years old. That is a wife and four kids. He abandoned us and then pursued amateur breakdancing.
Some more context is needed here. Needless to say, we'll talk about this in a moment. All right, let's continue with the video.
And he got really good. He like blew up. Like he became like a D-list celebrity status, like viral breakdancer. He became like the oldest actively competing breakdancer in the world. Then he got on Good Morning America and talk shows, and Washington Post wrote about him, and he went super viral, and he did all these interviews, and he danced with Paula Abdul. And here, I'll show you.
Let's see. Take a look at this 60-year-old breakdancer.
Look at this dude at 60. Getting it. Can dance like that, right?
Yes, 60 years old. Amazing. That's Ben Hart. He's competing at a break dancing competition in Philadelphia, and he may not have won, but I tell you what, he is winning over a lot of people on the internet.
Yes.
He really is. Yeah. Yep. He's winning over a lot of people on the internet.
They're showing him break dancing, ladies and gentlemen, on Good Morning America.
This guy wouldn't pay my medical bills.
That is not true. More on that in a minute.
And my man, the look on Mr. Hart's face, he's loving every minute of this shit, right? He like, damn, I really am good.
The worst part, damn it, he's good. He should not be able to move his body like that.
Oh, that's true.
It's like impossible. It's beautiful. Hey, Dad.
Thank you, Maddie.
Like, there was no split custody or anything. Like, he just, like, left four kids to do that. He may not have paid for some of my medical bills growing up, but he did give me this breakdancing merchandise. So that's him. He's on his
back. That is a nice shirt.
It's his B-boy name because his name is Ben Hart. You know, I'll get texts like this. Happy birthday, ? And then, like, links to his breakdancing videos.
That's true.
First of all, the birthday thing was in March. April, he signed the, I'm reforming and such and such. So she tried to make it seem like they both was together. Like, hey, is the day your birthday? ? Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm going to be at Germany at such and such a breakdancing tournament. She tried to play him right there.
You have funny trauma, like actual funny ha-ha trauma. I need to hear it. Thank you.
Okay, in many ways, I love this video. And of course,
you loved it because you was breakdancing and your daughter was talking about you.
I love my daughter, Maddie. And we get along great. At least I think we do. But a few corrections are in order, or at least a few things that need to be put in context. First, I can see that as a 5-year-old, Maddie would see her dad as having abandoned the family. One day I was living there, the next day I wasn't. And that will look like abandonment to a child. But married couples do get divorced about half the time in America. And I was just living a mile or so down the street in LaGrange, Illinois. We just weren't living under the same roof. Now, about not paying medical bills, that's just not correct. Here was the financial arrangement of the divorce. Maddie's mom, my ex-wife, got $2 million at the get-go, out of the gate, a lump sum payment. Plus, I was paying her $18,000 per month in child support and alimony.
$18,000 a month.
Hey, well, you got 4 kids and he's making a couple dollars.
This was later reduced to $12,000 per month. And of course, I paid health insurance and out of pocket.
Thank you for the court for reducing that to 18 down to 12.
Pocket medical costs. I also put $600,000 into the kids' college fund. In all, I paid out about $5 million to my ex-wife to cover costs for her and the kids. And this is in $2,005. So add 50% to account for inflation. In other words, I was not a deadbeat dad at all. And by the way, Maddie did not say that in her video.
She said it without saying it, sir. That you, no, she said you left. She said you left the family. She made it seem like he left the family to pursue breakdancing, like he wasn't working or whatever. What was you about to say?
No, he's saying she didn't say all the shit that he did do in the video is what he's saying.
No.
Like how he just broke it all down.
Right. You
know what I mean? That's what he's saying. She didn't say that in the video because she pretty much called him a deadbeat that abandoned his wife and 4 kids in the video.
Right. You know what? Fuck these kids. I'm going to go and spin on my goddamn bat.
Well, she got a lot of a following. So like we said before, the sad story is always the one that people love. So she says some dumb shit about her dad that's not true. And then everybody fucking, and everybody want to view it and watch it.
Right.
But a lot of the comments assume that and say that. Now, of course, there was no way for Maddie to know how much I was paying because she was a kid. This wasn't something I talked about. Also, remember that I was living 1 mile down the road from the kids in LaGrange, Illinois. Sidewalks all the way. An easy walk or bike ride. I saw the kids all the time. No abandonment, just a divorce. Was I at fault in the divorce? Yeah, I would say it was about 70% at fault. I own that. Maddie's mom and I were really not compatible in many ways. We were compatible in some ways, but not in other ways.
4 kids.
Do I regret
that out?
Marrying Maddie's mom? No, absolutely not. If I had not married Maddie's mom, Maddie and her 3 siblings would not have been born. They would not have existed. The kids have turned out great. Maddie graduated from Northwestern University and is a screenwriter in Hollywood. Maddie's older sister, Tori, is a partner at a hedge fund on Wall Street, and she's getting rich. Maddie's younger sister, Olivia, just graduated from college and is teaching English to first graders in Thailand. Her older brother, Peter, is getting a master's degree in psychology. I get along great with all my kids, including Maddie. At least I think I do.
No, you do. She just wanted to talk about fine. If he was going to watch it, he'll find out.
Right.
Despite Dad's many shortcomings. One other slight correction, which I hesitate to even bring up, because I love the way Maddie did this in her video. I did not abandon the family for breakdancing. I have a career. I'm in the advertising business. Built an ad agency. That's how I was able to afford to pay Maddie's mom $5 million. Maddie's mom and I separated in 2004 and divorced in 2005. I took up breakdancing entirely by accident in 2012 as a way to get in shape at the age of 54. I then just kept doing it. I'm now age 66. Now, some of you might be wondering, can he still breakdance at age 66? Well, I don't know. Let's see. I'll give it a try. Okay, Maddie, let's see how the old man does.
All right, I'm going to mute this right here because he's going to start breakdancing and they're playing music. It ain't really nothing, him breakdancing and music being played. I don't know what song it is, but he was cool and everything. But my only problem was he came prepared, like he written all that stuff down, mm-hmm. And he sounded like a damn radio DJ. And it would have been better if he'd have just talked naturally.
Well, I think he's doing that to get his following up too.
Right.
You know, even though she tried to play him, this gives him more exposure too.
Right.
And I believe he probably invested in Bitcoin early on because he got the shirt and the fucking flag hanging up in his house.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, as a 64-year-old he is now, he sure can move.
Shit, this is the shit I was doing at like 14. I can't even try to do that shit now.
Yep. Oh, he's done with the music.
Is that it's never too late to start breakdancing. I started when I was age 54. I'm now age 66.
So there's 66. I gave him 64. So 66-year-old can move like that?
Really? Shit. No excuse for anyone not to be breakdancing.
Yeah.
He's going too.
I have those upstairs too. He sounds like a DJ. Like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 80s at 8. And number 6 today, we have Yes with Owner of a Lonely Heart. He sounds just like a damn radio DJ. If he'd have just, he could have written all that stuff down, but if he'd have just spoke naturally, it'd have been better. But that's only my problem was, yeah, she did try to play him. And like you said, she tried to tug at people's heartstring with the sad story and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like whose story is more sadder? And he abandoned the family so he can go and break dance. That's just how she made it sound.
Yep.
Like he ain't have nothing going on. He just left that house to break dance. And it was like something like 7-8 years later before he started break dancing.
Right. And shit, all four of them kids got paid to go to college.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So she need to cut it out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now we have this Cam Newton story. This is kind of sports related, but not really. So Cam Newton had a viral video on social media that shows the former Carolina Panthers and New England Patriots quarterback fighting with other men during a 7-on-7 All-Star football tournament at the Best Northwest Academy on Northwest Drive in Atlanta. Now, the first video is one of the guys that he was fighting with talked shit about him before the fight. Now this is a little quick first video where he was talking shit about Cam Newton.
Hey, John. Hey, John.
Hey, man, I'm going to say it. They can't hide the film now. You know what I'm saying? That 3 times.
You know what I'm saying?
Y'all not throwing that, none throwing that Atlanta hero quarterback.
Cannot
beat me.
Can't
beat. So I don't know what he can't beat him in what? Football? Football. Oh, okay.
As far as coaching the little dude. So because I was digging deep into the story too. So what happened was,
wait, do you want me to play like
Okay,
now this is the guy in I think his name is TJ, the one that was just talking. Mm-hmm. They're on a radio show explaining what happened.
Want to know like what transpired?
This is a 105 The Beat. I guess that's the Atlanta show or Georgia radio station. Atlanta, I'm not sure.
What can make anyone like so angry? Because I'm sitting here and I'm speaking to you guys, and there's so much that you guys are doing for the community, and you're pouring into these young men, and so it's just like, what can make something transpire like this?
First and foremost, like what I want to do, I want to apologize to everybody that was out there, and okay, to the parents of not just our team, but mm-hmm. everybody that was
affected
like,
by
that. Yeah. That should have never happened. Mm-hmm. Like, we should have been able to sit down and talk. Like, there's no reason we should be yelling at each other while a game right. going on. Like, ain't none of that necessary. And so Cam has an organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one team. He has an organization. So it's just been a lot of trash talk, you know, from, you know what I'm saying, hit more so his side, just out of nowhere.
So we just didn't see the video of you talking shit about him. Now, what type of trash talking is this? Is this sports trash talking?
Yeah.
Okay. So he got offended out of sports trash talking.
I don't think that's what started the fight, though.
Just talking crazy to us for no reason. It's like, it's not nothing new. Like, I've been around bro for 5 years. So, mm-hmm. like, this typical Cam Newton behavior.
The Steph, you was right there.
Yeah, so they
you
talking.
You listening to the whole thing, so you heard him and you walked up. So
Steph walk up there, and as I'm walking up with Steph, Cam's in Steph's face. I made y'all responsible for everything y'all do, whatever. then he grabbed stuff. Okay. So me being,
I don't think that Cam just walked up to the guy. Yeah, right. Exactly. He walked up to the guy and said, "I made you know." Y'all was arguing back and forth, and he said that.
Right, but, during the argument.
Right.
I was like, "Motherfucker, this is my league."
Right. And ain't no way in the world that man did that.
My little brother.
Before we go on, if I'm Cam, I would just end this shit. If I got to go through all this shit with them kids talking shit about them, now the coaches fighting them and all this stuff, I just get rid of that shit and just live the rest of my life. I don't know what the hell you want to say what Cam would do.
No, move to the suburbs and do it for the suburban kids.
The white kids, huh?
The suburban kids.
Oh, so you're not going to say white kids?
I live in a suburb. My kid ain't white.
Okay, so the hood kids. Okay, what's the difference between the hood kids and the suburban kids?
That right there.
No.
The upbringing of the kid, the way they act.
How they act.
I bet you your boy Manning's and them camping in the hood.
Well, no, but if it was... Exactly. If it was, those guys wouldn't act like that towards Peyton Manning, the Mannings anyway.
But it wouldn't be that back and forth trash talking either from Peyton Manning and the kids like Cam do with the other coaches and stuff either.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like Cam is family, so they talk to him like family instead of talking to him as like a NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking up a flight of steps and I see a 6'6" guy grabbing my brother.
And that's the footage that everybody
sees. That's what everybody's seeing. Okay. Like,
so that was the first.
So all of a sudden out the blue that Cam Newton is just going to grab this guy.
They was coming up there for some rumbling. Why are you walking up on him?
Yes. And at first, that people thought that that was him fighting kids. But shit, Cam Newton is damn near 6'5". And he's like...
If you watch the video, Cam ain't throwing not one punch.
No, they was trying to roll on him. My man here. With the book bag was the guard.
He used the book bag as a guard so nobody can really get him.
Right. And when he was grabbing the guy... A book bag, as you call him, was punching Cam in the face. And Cam was like trying to push him, like grab him along, like try to ragdoll the guy that he was holding on to. And people jumped in, broke it up and all that stuff. It wasn't really as bad as it was bad on Cam's part because I'm done if that was me. But
go ahead. They said it was kids that started the fight. Cam jumped in the middle, and then the coaches got involved, and that's how I grew over to the coaches and Cam.
Okay.
Altercation. Yeah, Nothing else ever happened.
Nobody seen like how he was talking crazy for like the past 2 days. Like nobody seen that. Like,
all right,
we saw you talking crazy on your post.
Right. Now, on the next clip, this is Cam Newton on his show. Is it 4 from 1 with Cam Newton? On his podcast, talking about the situation.
Okay. So then, like, I know you, right? And I know that you're competitive. C1N is competitive. 7-on-7 is competitive.
Yes, sir.
You're competitive as it is. So I know Cam, and I know your competitive spirit and your trash talk. Like, you're going to talk shit. That's just you. Like, you joke. You talk shit to me. You're going to talk shit to everybody. Like, right.
A lot of people talk shit. You can't put your hands on it.
Right. But it's just football talk. He ain't talking about like fuck you, your mom's a bitch, and all that type of stuff. It's just football stuff. Man, y'all team trash. Y'all ain't gonna score here. Do you consider that trash talking?
Yeah, it's trash talking. It's not personal trash talking.
I'm talking about like enough for you to get an argument ready to fight.
That type of trash talking, y'all can still go out and get just some beers after the game.
Right.
It ain't no animosity. It shouldn't be.
Never known you to be violent. So like even like on or off the field, anything like that, it's like, so what really led to this? You knew these guys and what led to this?
I think that's a part of sports. You play tennis, you play golf, you play basket weaving, you play cricket, you play whatever sport. Obviously, football is a very physical sport. Now, people may say, what is 7-on-7?
Okay.
Right? 7-on-7 is a pass-centric football game. That it's not physical, it's just whatever.
And it's flag football, correct?
Probably. It sounds decent, though.
It's probably
the same shit we used to do in the streets, because we didn't run no run plays. We mostly did passes all day.
Right. Now, is this what this could be considered like an AAU of football? High school, or kids football?
I don't know how old the kids are. That's the question. Like, are they young adults or are they like still in high school?
Yeah, I'm thinking these is like 14, 15.
Cause see, when I saw it, and I was like, they're kind of big. So I was thinking it was like right after high school, maybe like a semi-pro type knockoff.
Right.
And it's all in the game. Like, verbal communication is what people use to distract, to deter, to get in another person's head, right? And there was a lot of talking on both sides.
Okay.
On all sides.
Well, we just saw that with the guy saying that his non-throwing quarterback.
So the jam quarterback must run the ball like Michael Vick all the time. And that's why the dude was mad, because he said the last two times that they beat him, they wanted to film, and Cam team said ain't no footage. So this time when they beat him, I guess they recorded their own game. You know what I mean? That's why now we got the footage to show that we bust your ass.
Right.
Let's just put it like that. So I don't wanna point the finger and say, well, this person said this or that person said that. It's all in the nature of sports.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And am I saying that this is the first time it happened or the last time it will happen? It's just something that it starts with words and it should have ended with words.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm disappointed in myself by letting it escalate to what it did.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I'm apologetic to it. I've seen clips on clips on clips. I've seen, you know, the content that they put out or whatever. The truth of the matter is this. Me being in my position, I should have never put myself in that position.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the truth.
I think the thing with him is he's a little bit, he's a little too approachable. Like how you just mentioned the Manning brothers. Like you said, those guys wouldn't have walked up and talked to one of the Mannings like that, because they're not really approachable like that. Cam is probably all in the neighborhoods trying to help out. He's from Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know if he's from Atlanta or not. So you know everybody going like know him or whatever. And he's like in the neighborhoods trying to doing these football and trying to help people out. So people can walk up and talk to him. He probably don't have that much security or anything like that. Well, he's probably bigger than the damn security guards.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably don't walk around with that much security and everything, and people couldn't just walk up and talk to him, just like how the kids was talking shit to him.
Yep.
It's like he making himself a little bit too much approachable. Maybe if you could like distance yourself somehow, I don't know. What was you about to say?
There's really no way you can win. It's like if you try to be man to man with your fans and approachable like that, it comes with a cost of now motherfuckers gonna say anything to you and try you.
Right.
Compared to if you're unapproachable, then it's like, damn, he ain't really cool like that. He okay for doing the camp, but we don't really know him like that. It's better to know somebody on a friendly basis where you can talk to him and be normal around, but they taking it to another level.
Right.
Because even then, it's like, that shit could have got ugly. Like, for real. It could have. And that's why I'm trying to bring the seriousness to this situation. Like, we can laugh about it. We can play, and I will always try to bring humor into something that's lighthearted, but this is a serious situation that I even seen a clip that said, like, yo, like, people are laughing, but they weren't laughing about Nipsey.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? Or call it what you want. It's like, what if serious injury would have happened on either side. Something happened to me, something happened to them. Now my 8 children are fatherless now. Because now I'm being sued. Now I got something.
That's what I say about the approachable thing. Like you said, you gotta like have like sort of a balance, like you were saying about it.
Mm-hmm. It's just bigger than a
Here's a good idea, because like I say, if I'm Cam Newton, I'd be done with this shit. But what he can do is just help out at his local school, wherever the closest school is to where he live. Help out and like teach the quarterback how to throw and all that type of stuff. That way, your name ain't on anything. You can show up when you want to and leave, and ain't too many people around. You know, show up, teach the kids like, hey, look, when you throw your football, put your arm like this, put your legs like that or whatever. and just go to hell home afterwards. Because me, I'm like, look, because like he said, that could have been a bad situation. Mm-hmm. That could have been a bad situation. And that's why I said if it was me, I'd have been done. I'd have scrapped all that shit.
What'd they say? Don't make a rational judgment in the heat of the moment. And there's times where that wasn't even the worst that I've been through. You see what I'm saying? Like, I've rendered my time and people think, like, why is Cam doing this? It's like, no, I cannot. I owe a due diligence. I owe a service to the kids to say, like, hey, if I see Cam, this is my opportunity to touch him, to talk to him, to laugh with him, to, you know, compete with him.
Yeah.
This is the only time that they may see somebody. So dare I say I'm not going to ever do it again, but yeah. I just let that situation escalate in a way that I didn't. So it didn't need to happen.
That was Cam talking about it. Yeah, I would teach at the school, the junior high school, whatever the school that's closer to your house. Teach them. Now, I can understand you want to help the kids and shit, but if I got to go through all this stuff, no. I don't know. I can't understand how in the world that trash talking on the field can lead to an altercation like that. Between coaches, we ain't talking about children.
Well, these are not regular coaches either, because these are the guys that Cam knew for a long time. So they've been bickering and trash talking every year and just spilled over. They said Cam Newton hired both those guys as his assistant coaches on his team and brought them in the league. And then I guess after a couple of years, they wasn't seeing eye to eye, so he let them start their own team in the league. And since they started their own team, they've been busting Cam's ass, and they've been talking trash back and forth. But I guess Cam and his people are like, yeah, I ain't busting nobody's ass. Well, where the footage? And that's why he was like, ain't no, there's never no footage. Well, this time we got footage showing that we bust your ass.
Mm-hmm.
But they letting bullshit take the best of them. Because it shouldn't even have been like that. If you known them guys for a couple of years, all that trash talk is still on the field. After the game, y'all can go out and drink and hang out and bust it up. It shouldn't be no, I'm trying to kick your ass type shit.
Right. So we going to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where District Judge Sonia M. McKnight was charged with attempted murder and aggravated assault after shooting her estranged boyfriend in the head. I tried to laugh at this, but... You'll see why it's not funny, but you'll see why it's not funny, but it is funny.
Court documents say Magisterial District Judge Sonia McKnight shot her ex-boyfriend in the head while he slept. He's been left blind in at least one eye, according to authorities. McKnight is accused of attempted murder and aggravated assault. She was unable to post $300,000 bail, according to court records. Police say McKnight's ex-boyfriend had recently broken up with her and wanted her to move out of his Susquehanna Township home. Around 1 a.m. Saturday, police say McKnight's ex-boyfriend awoke with massive head pain and was unable to see, while she allegedly asked him, what did he do to himself?
So he sleep, he's awakened up by a pounding headache and he can't see out of one eye, and she tried to make it seem like he like shot himself. What did you do to yourself? I ain't do nothing, I was asleep. What's going on here? I can't see.
Damn.
The ex-boyfriend was adamant he did not shoot himself. Police say while calling 911, McKnight could not explain.
Well, what they say in the article is it's been like he's been trying to get her out the house for a long time and she wouldn't leave. And I don't know why if this woman is like nuts like that, I don't know why you get so comfortable falling asleep like this. And you wore her out your house. You've been wanting out your house. Why are you so comfortable in the sleeping? And this woman is nuts.
Mm-hmm. What happened, and that she was sleeping and heard him screaming. But investigators came to the conclusion she...
I don't know what's going on. I was asleep, and I just hear him get up talking about how he can't see.
Pulled the trigger.
The location of the wound being one of the big... factors here. A gunshot wound to the head pretty clearly gives you a indication of someone's intent. So the charge is appropriate, we believe.
Police said a gun registered by McKnight was used in the shooting and that a license plate reader and Ring doorbell footage contradicted part of McKnight's accounts of the evening, leading investigators to say her interview was deceptive.
Which means she wasn't asleep. She must have had left the house or something and came back. Mm-hmm. So, and she lying about how, oh, I was in bed asleep. You know, gun well that regular people got cameras and all that type of stuff. You know they're going to catch you driving down the street.
Additionally, an investigating officer wrote in charging documents that McKnight tested positive for gunshot residue on her hand. McKnight was already suspended.
She's a judge. Don't you think she would know?
No, she should, but she don't.
Okay.
Right. For unrelated reasons prior to this, a state judicial conduct board had alleged a number of counts of misconduct by McKnight that led to her suspension without pay. Tom Lehman, WGAL News 8.
Now, let me ask you a question. Now, okay, we got the judge here. We got Tiffany. We got Fanny. Are these, like, do they have mental problems or what do you think about those?
Yes.
Okay, so you think, so they just went to school and all that stuff, but they have mental problems.
Majority of them do.
Majority of who?
Who's them? You know who them
is. No. Well, Philip, you may be right, because we about to take a trip. We about to take a trip to New Orleans, Louisiana. Now, this person, I ain't even know anything about our mayor here, our mayor LaToya Cantrell. Is facing an FBI probe over allegations she had an ongoing adulterous affair with the former head of her police detail on city property. Now, there's two videos here. This first video is, this was like a couple of months ago. The FBI probe and all that stuff is what happened like a couple of months ago. Now, oh, and by the way, you do a search on LaToya Cantrell, you see a lot of bullshit that she done. So here's the first video about the FBI probe.
New details about the federal investigation into New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell. As sources tell Fox 8, the FBI wants to know more about the time Cantrell spent with a member of her security detail.
And a crime watchdog says their questions closely mirror a case in Tennessee that resulted in charges being brought against the sitting mayor there. Here's our new Outside the Office investigation.
It was completely designed to humiliate me and to politically embarrass me.
6 years ago, the mayor of Nashville at first denied having an affair with her security detail.
Was he getting paid while you were having relations with him?
No.
Then Mayor Megan Berry took her bodyguard on taxpayer-funded trips out of town while the two carried on a secret affair.
What the hell is going on with these women? Don't you know that they can easily find that out? That's not hard.
You think there was anything, though, that was inappropriate in terms of, did he really need to be there? Did he really need to be with you while you're going to a concert or something like that?
When I'm out, I'm working all the time. And so I let the police department make the decisions about how I should be staffed.
In 2018, Berry and her bodyguard pleaded guilty to state charges of felony theft. Tennessee investigators looked at the 10 city-funded trips Berry took with her bodyguard and the tens of thousands of dollars in overtime the bodyguard collected while claiming to protect the mayor.
Wait, Berry.
So he pounded her out. So he pounded her out and got paid for it.
Yep.
And
not a bad, with pay.
Right. Not a bad looking woman here, though. Damn.
Charge.
Some guys have all the luck.
Just centered around an affair.
He could say, fuck it. I could get a job of being a security head at a college or some shit like that. I don't have to work for the state.
While taxpayers paid the bodyguard.
The mirror images of what happened in Nashville and what we see playing out here.
And now sources with knowledge of the ongoing.
And this is our baby here, LaToya Cantrell.
Investigation into New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell say federal.
By the way, her husband has passed. Her husband has passed sometime last year. So I guess after her husband passed, I'm sorry, that's when she started rolling around with the security guard.
investigators are asking similar questions here about the mayor and her bodyguard, NOPD officer Jeffrey Vappi. While the charges would be different from the Nashville case, federal versus state, sources say the concept of both investigations appear to be the same.
Look at our man in Nashville with that little good smile on his face.
Loving his position.
Well, the similarities are that you're talking about a police officer that was part of an executive protection team for the mayor of Nashville, was billing the city for work that he was not actually performing. So if he was not protecting the mayor, was engaged in a personal relationship, that essentially would have been the basis of the state charges that resulted in him being charged, in the mayor of Nashville being charged and ultimately resigning. This would just be taking the same principles to the federal side of the ledger.
Sources with knowledge of interviews federal investigators conducted say FBI agents have recently been asking questions about Vappi and Cantrell, their relationship, and the time the two have spent together. Mayor Cantrell has repeatedly denied a relationship with Vappi.
As I've stated, you know, based on the false allegations that come my way, by the time I finish this job, literally, you know, accused of sleeping with half of the city of New Orleans, both genders and all pronouns. I'm known as Teddy sometimes and then Teddy other times. So with that, false allegations do not, that's basically all.
Our girls sure have a gift of gab because they ain't even answering the question.
Exactly. What that got to do with anything?
I don't know.
I have to say about it.
Our outside the office investigation found Vappi spending long hours inside the city-owned Upper Pentaba apartment, sometimes leaving late at night alone, not protecting the mayor when she left after midnight. Vappi,
why does the city have a apartment there, paying for an apartment if she's not staying there?
So they can stay there when they want to.
So what if she's tired and don't want to go home? She just stay in that apartment. Yeah. Okay.
But his wife filed. If they was together as a city apartment, so you know as the cameras watching that building, why don't they just leave together and go the same way? They can hit the corner as soon as they, you know, wherever the car is at and it's separate.
Yep.
For divorce, claiming in court records, Vappi admitted the affair, something Vappi and Cantrell both say is untrue.
So as it relates to my professional relationship, with Officer Vappi, that's where it is. It's strictly professional.
In months worth of public security camera video obtained by Fox 8, Vappi is the only officer to ever enter the Upper Pentaba apartment. Other members of the mayor's executive protection team, in interviews with police investigators, even called the relationship troubling.
So do you feel like
snitching?
Yep. They mad that they ain't in a bad position. Like, damn, he was getting overtime and all that stuff, too? Oh, no. That's a bad look for the police department.
Actions embarrass the unit?
I would say so, yeah.
I'd be like, well, look, I don't have no comment because none of this have anything to do with me. Mm. I mean, you have to investigate them, too. I don't have anything to do with that.
I don't know nothing about it. As far as I'm concerned, he was just a bodyguard.
Right. She ain't giving me anything.
You feel like he crossed that line of professionalism with his protection duties?
The way it looks, yeah. Look bad.
And you talked to him about that?
Yeah.
All right. Did you talk to any of the NOPD guys about that?
I think we talked as a whole. Yeah.
So he talked to the guy about it. Then they got together. Then the unit got together and gossiped about him. What the hell?
Oh,
what do you mean when you say as a whole?
Well, because they noticed it. They witnessed it.
When you say they, give me some names.
Jeff, Robert, and...
Look at them telling on people. Hey.
Lewis. Okay. Robert Lewis. So they all noticed it. So, you know, we were like, what is this dude doing, you know?
The head of the Metropolitan Crime Commission.
I'm like, look, I don't care. Right. I was like, look, I don't care. As long as my check come on Friday or whatever time they get paid, I'm straight. Now, if that was affecting the way I get paid, then I would say something.
Right.
Other than that, no. I don't care what them two do.
And says to pursue a case like this, the federal government.
Oh, they would hate me in the police force then. they would hate me in that police force because I ain't run around and telling them like that guy just
must have more than circumstantial proof.
I don't believe the government will charge the mayor or Officer Vappy strictly on circumstantial evidence. I think that they would have a higher standard than that. And I think that if they do charge them with that, it's because they believe they have sufficient evidence to meet the burden of proof to prove them guilty beyond.
Yeah, what's the evidence?
They don't have none. Just them leaving the hotel together and shit like that.
Right. He could just say I was clearing the room or whatever.
She was working late, so I was there with her.
Right.
Make sure she all
right. Right.
Beyond a reasonable doubt.
Goyeneche says he believes this is just one piece of the federal investigation, that FBI agents and the U.S. attorney are looking at other potential corruption with the mayor. One source told us recently investigators asked whether the mayor or Vappy received anything of value from parties who are regulated by or do business with the city. Our prior investigations detailed the FBI is also looking into clothing purchases made for Cantrell by her image consultant. And last year, both Cantrell and Vappy hired well-known criminal defense attorneys. Goyeneche believes the pace of this investigation shows it might be coming to an end soon, in the next few months.
We'll find out sooner rather than later, because this investigation is either going to result in an indictment in the near future, or it's just going to dry up and blow away. And I think
indictment on what? What's the basis of it?
They ain't got nothing.
Right.
That because this has reached the point that it has.
Now the Tennessee Nashville mayor, they was going on trips using taxpayer money and all that stuff. That's why they got hemmed up spending
that. But you still can't prove it. Like, if she, it depends if she's on vacation or is she on business.
I think it was vacation. I'm assuming it was vacation if the FBI got involved about them spending taxpayers' money with the trips and stuff.
Well, because the other mayor that we was talking about in that little small town, your homegirl, she was going on vacation, but making it seem like it was a business trip because it was a business meeting in that town or whatever.
Right.
I mean, so it's a shaky area right there.
Yes.
Where grand juries have been convened and evidence has been assembled.
We want to note that right now, Cantrell and Vappy have not been accused of any criminal wrongdoing. We reached out to Cantrell's attorney, Eddie Castang, and Vappy's attorney, Harry Rosenberg. Both told us no comment.
All right.
Do you remember
the
old lady that used to work at Danny's strip club? She was a stripper. She was old.
No.
And she pissed in a trash can and the girls wanted to kick her ass. You don't remember that?
You told me that story. I don't
remember. Kind of looked like her, that mayor. She looked like her in the face. Yeah. When I seen her, I'm like, damn, she looked just like that lady.
All right. The next video with Mayor Cantrell. This was a year ago. She got in an argument at a rap concert in a woman's bathroom. Here's the report.
Tonight, a response from the rapper whose concert last night is getting attention today after video shows Mayor Cantrell in an altercation at his show. As Erica Ferrando reports, the mayor's office says she was trying.
It's almost like she's trying to stick her chest out.
Watch who this lady right here.
Yes. It's like her back is straight and like her chest is sticking out, kind of like in like an awkward position.
I can't tell.
To stop a fight.
As rapper Rob 49 performed at the Fillmore Saturday night, New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell was there, appearing to have been involved in a heated altercation inside the women's bathroom.
Now, this is the mayor now of New Orleans, the major city. She at the rap concert.
Why?
She like rap. She the age. She can like rap music. This is a mayor at the mayor of a major city. The Super Bowl is going to be there next year, if I'm not mistaken. And this is her in the woman's bathroom getting in an argument.
A 28-second Instagram video shows
for the snow.
Yep.
The woman holding her hand up to Mayor Cantrell's face. The mayor pushes her hand away. The woman is seen knocking on a bathroom stall with her hand again in Mayor Cantrell's face. She then shoves the mayor, and the two appear to continue arguing.
So where's her damn security when all this stuff is going on?
The woman's.
Where's the dude that's all around her all the time? See, that's why I don't believe it.
Waving his daggone phone to the rapper.
Steps in, appearing to try and calm things down, with someone saying the girl doesn't know who Mayor Cantrell is. The woman involved hasn't been identified, and it's unclear if she is from New Orleans or was visiting. Another video posted to Instagram shows Rob 49 approach the mayor during his show.
Hey, I want to give a special award for being the best mayor that ever came through the waters, man.
The mayor spoke into the microphone addressing the altercation.
And I wasn't fighting in the bathroom. I was breaking up time.
Rob 49 that handed Mayor Kent
Cantrell
a plaque. The mayor's office released a statement saying Mayor Cantrell was de-escalating an altercation. Communications Director Gregory Joseph said,
well, first of all, if they sitting there getting heated and all that stuff and she's there, I'd have just walked out. I'd have walked out and like told somebody like, yo, they about to start fighting in the bathroom. She can't get involved in anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
In an age where everybody got cameras on them? No.
Mayor Cantrell intervened to defuse.
But like you said, I think that she was arguing with the lady. I don't think that she was trying to break up anything.
Yeah, that's a
potentially violent situation. Upon witnessing an altercation, the mayor acted in a manner in which she always implores our residents. If you see something, do something. And Sunday afternoon, Rob 49 tweeted, I just want to say thank you to Mayor Cantrell for stepping in to defuse a altercation that could have turned out bad. Shout out to the city of New Orleans for a
fun. She was the altercation. Because where was the other girl that supposedly in there supposed to have been arguing and fighting?
Right.
Wasn't nobody else. It was just them two.
Event. This isn't the first public confrontation involving the mayor. In September, a video posted to Twitter showed Mayor Cantrell in a heated exchange with someone at a bar who was criticizing her for not issuing a mandatory evacuation before Hurricane Ida. When asked about it shortly after, the mayor said the man was disrespecting her.
And I spoke up for myself, as I was raised to do.
It's still unclear what initially caused the Saturday night incident to occur. Erica Ferrando, Eyewitness News.
Switching here.
Our new baby there, LaTori Cantrell. Ladies and gentlemen, do a search, a YouTube search on LaTori Cantrell. You can see all the shit that she's involved in. Like Philip said, I think that Philip was trying to imply that they all was, I think he meant all mayors had mental problems. You was talking about mayors, right?
No.
You want to care?
Nope, let's move on to the next story.
You sure? Your opinion matters.
I know.
All right. We going to... Well, all right, y'all. You can reach the Judge Middles on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and subscribe to our YouTube at PNL Judge Middles, Instagram at the_Judge Middles, or you can email us at PNLJudgeMiddles@gmail.com. So, all right, Phil.
All right, I went through two shout-outs, by the way. I want to throw a shout-out to one of our new viewers, my cousin Dennis. Good looking out. I was just busting it up with him. And then I throw a shout out to Sergeant Lou. Congratulations on retirement. He just retired from the military. Got his 20.
Okay, so he's officially going now?
Well, once you get the letter, that means you reach your 20, you can step out whenever you're ready or you complete your contract. It doesn't matter. But so he's still in, but he's probably about to bounce any day now.
Oh, okay. All right. So what's what about your boy in his smoke shop?
Who?
What is the guy that used to be in the military with? He got a I don't know if he's like partner into the smoke shop or I don't know even know where the smoke shop is. The one that always wanted us to be on his podcast, but we never set anything up.
Siani.
Is he white?
Yeah.
I guess the guy on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a white guy. I didn't know he had a smoke shop.
Yeah. I guess I don't know if he partnered into it or the sole owner or whatever. And I say, yeah, we can do a podcast in there. He was like, well, all right then. Man, that was like darn near like 5 or 6 months ago.
I remember us talking about doing one, but I don't remember him actually having a smoke shop.
So
I haven't talked to him in a while. Every once in a while, I hit him up on there and we bust it up, you know what I mean, back and forth. He always out of, he's not never around. I have to
So, all right, Phil. All
right. People always want to know where my friends is at, like we attach. I don't need no crew to produce the same effect. How lame is that? Niggas say that we drawling, but really we balling. They mad because they falling. We rotting, they successful, but stressful.